In our eyes, Yehovah, the Nitung Kashila Hewane Anging Telo Ina Azio Hewane Anging Telo Ina Azio Hewane Anging Nitung kashila hewane anging telo ina azio hewane anging telo ina azio hewane anging Nitung kashila hewane anging telo ina azio hewane anging telo
Hello, Aloha! Welcome to Aloha Healers Network. Mahalo, Pathfinder, for our opening song. And this is your host, Brenda Michiko Kelly. Today's date is January 25th, 2018. Below two are the flying star number four today is the number nine star. There are nine flying stars. So the number nine star is the last star out of the nine. It is the purple star. It is the celebration star. And its home location is in the south. And the south is where the fire element lives. So the ninth star today is in the center. And just for your tuning in, the new location center star for this next coming annual year switch in the feng shui world is the number nine star that's going to be in the center. So today is the same configuration as the annual flying star coming up, which is the 2019 Earth Dog coming in for a landing. Of 2018. Thank you, Pathfinder. 2018 Earth Dog coming in for a landing. We're still in the year of the 2017. My goodness. All these numbers, fire rooster, for about a week and a half. Still the babies born right now for another week and a half are still fire rooster babies. This is how you get your animal sign, because you have a feng shui animal sign. There are 12 of them. And today is a fire snake day. And so there are 12 animals. So let me just tell you this. In the new feng shui year that's coming in, it's the next snake day. That is the next new year. Okay, that's so 12 more days if the math goes like that. And then we are in the earth dog year. And all the flying stars fly. And right now the number one is in the center of the low shoe. And the number nine will become the center of the low shoe. By the way, the number nine right now is still living in the southeast. And so it flies from the southeast to the center. And then number one star from the center flies to the northwest where the dog location is. So this is a great year for all dogs. Woof, woof. Because the dogs receive the victory star. Each flying star has a name, and that name is really going to let you in on what that vibration is. Remember, they're ancient names, and it's just one word, and so you can really use a lot of your intuitiveness. Once you understand feng shui a little bit, the five elements, the 12 animals, the bagua, and the flying stars. Now, there are more practices in feng shui than that, but there, you know, we can only do so many in this half-hour show. So we will cover a lot of the things like the 24 mountain stars. And then there's the pillars. And what I want to let everyone know in this new year coming up with the Earth Dog coming in is that we really want to go for this. We really want to support the Northwest and support the victory because it's the patriarch direction. And we got to get these patriarchs with victory going on in good ways. Victory with good ways is going to benefit all of us. It's so important. And in the wheel of the 12 animals, each animal sits in a compass location. And so, therefore, you've got an animal on the right of you, an animal on the left of you. Each animal does. And all facing into the center, of course, you're facing across directly from one of the animals. And in the ancient feng shui terms, this is an antagonistic arrow. And across from the dog sits the dragon, which right now is in the southeast, holding the number 9 celebration star for the year, along with the snake. Both you guys are holding that celebration number 9 star in the southeast. And since each animal is sitting across from that other animal, this is a balance. This is a harmony of what is really necessary in all kinds of balances in each way that you can imagine, and try to think of different ways than just one. And so the dragon is such a pivotal, important symbol, really, and icon that everyone in China tries to contrive to get a dragon baby. This is how important it is to that culture. So I'm just bringing a little bit of culture into the feng shui and why I think that I've been seeing the year of the dog kind of not coming out with such a bang and a boom like I'd like to see. And it's directly because of the dragon and the way that old way, I want to say, that, you know, that culture used to just put that one animal so high up on a pedestal. And then, of course, they wouldn't want the animal across it to actually be held in the same esteem at all. That old culture, that old thinking. Forward, shall we? Woof, woof, and really, really go for it and get that balance going, because we don't want a whole bunch of dragon energy on the heavy end of the seesaw. We got to balance this out. So let's all really, really just go for it this year of the Earth Dog. And since the victory star is there, you can do it. And what you're going to find out is the flying star that is in your animal location, whatever that star's name, that you're going to bring victory to that. And so to find out which star is coming up, you can go online and find out what that configuration looks like and what compass direction your animal is sitting in, what star you're going to receive. Or you can get a feng shui consultation from Pathfinder and I. Email pathfinder1111@gmail.com, and we're going to get that going really soon. We still are in the Earth of Fire Rooster, so we're not switched yet with those flying stars. But remember, let's all first start with the number one cure, which is the 5 star, which is the disaster star. That's its name. What is disaster? It means reformation later, transformation. It's huge. It's awesome. However, very, very in the ancient ways, dangerous. This star is flying to the north this year, so heads up to the rat and the mouse. Heads up. What does that mean? Pay attention. And we're going to let you know in shows coming up what elements to put there, what to do. All right. But now it's time for our feng shui bit tip for today. We are going to talk about emotional balance in building our physical fitness. This is crucial. There is no emotion. There is no physical fitness without emotional balance, because it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter if you're emotionally unbalanced how fit you are, is it? No. So let's remain emotionally balanced. This is fundamental from the inside of your home when you get up into the morning, to when you drive to the gym, to when you work out, or when you drive to work and interact with people and then drive home, or maybe you're taking other transportation. And be present in the transportation, and let's keep our blood sugar on a level. And how we do that is we eat every 2 to 3 hours, 3 hours, not an entire huge meal, something though. In that way, we can keep mentally at one level, and that we don't have to react to all the, there's some energies out there that seem to be going spiky, some very slow, and some really, really fast rushers. So let's all be conscientious of our balance, keep our blood sugar calm so that we are calm. And for more calmness, do we need to be more calm down, Pathfinder? We have some Pathfinder wisdom.
Mahalo, Michiko. Mielo chunku uoksape. My name is Pathfinder. In Cherokee, it's Natana Nunahi Susustiga, also Pathfinder. It's easier to just say Pathfinder. Well, thank you, Michiko. And yeah, we're about to switch over from Fire Rooster to Earth Dog. And that's a movement from the west towards the northwest. And we began talking about the 28 universal powers, and we got like through the first 3.5. And I'm thinking, you know, we're going to do all this in one show. No, let's take some time. So a heartfelt handshake out there to everyone. And, you know, within the last few years, the generation gaps and the cultural gaps have kind of become more like chasms, and it's time to turn that around. It's time to turn things around towards understanding. There's this principle called unity in diversity. And one of the more recent cultures that has brought this forth are the Baha'i. And still, this is one of the universal guidelines. Unity in diversity. In other words, it's really, really good for there to be diverse views and cultures and foods and medicines and ways of relating to nature, to the point that we've come to understand that the Creator and Mother Earth have blessed individual groups of people with special skills that relate to the earth where they are. Okay, so if there's an indigenous people that's been in a place for a very long time, they need to be respected and honored because they're doing something special for God and for the earth, for all of our relatives, for the peoples. And it turns out that the diversity of life is our greatest treasure. And this was brought out by the Dalai Lama about a decade ago, where he said that the greatest strength and gift of humanity is its diversity. And even if you're thinking in a Darwinian survival of the fittest type of situation, when you have the most diversity, the most different approaches and solutions, you then have the best chance of survival. And let's go beyond survival and say, when we have unity in diversity, we have greater and greater life. And this is what Creator and the Mother Earth and all of the smiling forces of the universe wish for us. And this is also a very Aquarian thing, because Aquarius is about groups working together to bring about innovation and new expressions of support in life. And so let us appreciate the diversity in our lives, and that's diversity of age and diversity of culture, diversity of skin colors, diversity of how we connect with the land and how we express ourselves. And so it's important that we keep this diversity and that we honor it. Now, in this same way, along the same path, I was reminded about all the religions, the different indigenous religions, and then they call them major world religions, because there's a whole bunch of groups under that, but under each of these major world religions. But what we have to remember is that there are also subgroups in each of these religions. And these subgroups represent those more indigenous cultures that were tied to a place. And so they approach things differently. So, for instance, even Christmas in Belgium is going to be different than Christmas in Italy, okay? Even across Europe, the way they celebrate something that we think is standard like Christmas, no, they have way different traditions and ways of doing it, and even different celebration dates. You know, they go for different durations, and they're celebrating different things at different times. And so if there's this much diversity, even within European Christianity, imagine global Christianity, and then think about the other religions as well. And so when we have unity and diversity, we have all of the spiritual people and all of the religious people working together, or at least in tolerance. This is very, very key. And this comes back to the principle that the Creator and the Mother Earth placed certain responsibilities and gifts on different people depending on where they lived upon the planet. Okay, so that's a little bit of a philosophy lecture about unity in diversity. Last week, we started working with the 28 universal powers, and we started with the directions. The basic categories of the 28 universal power are the directions, the elements of creation, the luminaries, and then the altars. And once again, this list of 28 universal powers, or this gifting of their knowledge, came to us from a collection of medicine people and altar carriers and spiritual interpreters from up towards the Dakotas, and that they collaborated to say, yes, these are the 28 universal powers. And so when we come to, and so the language that they're in is a Lakota, Dakota, or Nakota, depending on whether you use the L, the D, or the N in pronunciation. And I see here we had Wambadi, so this is in a Dakota dialect. Okay, so why universal powers, and how does this relate to what we were just talking about in the unity in diversity? Well, every person on the planet has a connection to the universal powers, no matter what the religious trappings are around them, or every culture has their way of connecting with one of these universal powers. And so we talked about the West and how this is the place where the ancestors reached to us. We talked about the North, and this is the ways of purification and renewal work with us. And we talked about the East and how the ways of dreaming the future and bringing in the enlightenment and the illumination of consciousness is connected to the great grandfather, meaning the sun behind the sun, that comes with the rising in the East. Then we started talking a little bit about the South, Itol Kagata, and how the tree, the sacred tree of life, is there, and how the great defender is there, and how all of the nations of life are collected there under this twin tree. And this is the tree of life, and this is the tree of life is different than the tree of knowledge. Okay, that's a whole nother situation. This is the tree of life, and it's the same tree of life that grows within each of us and is reflected in our seven chakras and our six gland processes. The tree of life works on the number 13, with the 7 rising through the center of us, and then the 6 working the directions around us, the west, the north, the east, the south, beneath us, above us. And then I also briefly mentioned that from the south, the sky road begins. It's where the sky touches the earth, and where all of the souls that are going on to another existence, they walk that sky road right up into the Milky Way. And it's at that point that we're questioned, our loyalty and our personal relationship understanding with Creator. And according to traditions, they say we're asked Creator's name. And in that moment, we can reflect, so like the Hindus do, that God or Atman is our ultimate greater self, and that's the big S, and that we're just the little S. And so that's one way, and I express that by saying the great I am. But each of these cultures has their own name, sacred name for Creator. And so look within your culture and know how, and then discover how you personally connect with Creator. Okay, so to move on a little bit, our fifth universal power is Makpiyata. And Makpia are the cloud nations. So it's saying towards the sky, towards the cloud nations. And this is often seen as the cosmic breath, as well as our connection to the cosmic male, or the universal male, being that we're all living within the body. This is one Hebrew conception. We're all living within the body of the Adam Quadman, that we're each a point, a light, or star within this great body of the first man, which they call Adam. And then similarly, in many native traditions, they say that we're within the body of the Great Mother. And this is literally true, because matter, we are within the great body of the Mother. And she is both the existent, the manifest, and she is the unmanifest. And from physics, just simple, material world physics, we discover that there is more around us that we can't see than what we do see, and that we're living in an energy universe. And so there are great gifts and talents that have been given to us, and two of these talents come to us from Makpiyata. From the cloud nation, we get the gift of dreams. And so the cloud nation are actually some of the guardians of the astral/emotional plane, and that they help us to have bright dreams and motivation and inspiration and hope and faith to bring about more life, more sustainability, and more happiness. And of course, the cloud nations also work with the water nations and the thunder and lightning nations to bring renewal to the earth and to all the beings. Renewal and food, because that water and that electricity is really tied to our entire existence. A second gift, and this might be covered again in just a little bit as well, a gift from the sky is the gift of the sacred breath. They say that the clay of Mother Earth combined with the sacred breath and brought about the birth of conscious living beings. And this is the unity of Divine Mother and Divine Father to bring about life. And so from the direction of the sky, we receive the cosmic inspirations, and we can receive the cosmic breath to breathe through the medulla oblongata into the systems of our body, so that our mystical body, as well as our mental body, as well as our emotional body, as well as our physical body, are all in greater health together. The next of our universal powers is Unchi Maka, the grandmother earth. And sometimes this is Ina Maka, which is Mother Earth. And clay and soil and minerals and the life cycle of the elements. And then her body is a birthing ground, both inside and on the surface and above, for so many generations of children of so many different kinds. And we are here because she is a great teacher. She is our teacher. It is not some being or even the creator coming in from outside that is our teacher. Mother Earth is our teacher. And then she works in cooperation with Saturn, the disciplinarian, or he's like the principal of the school, and also our father, mother, son, who gives us the solar path, and the grandmother moon that gives us the lunar path, and then the mother earth that gives us the earth path, and then our great auntie Venus that gives us the path of the seven stars. And so we learn to honor our mother earth, and I'm going to finish up the time here just talking a little bit about how to relate with Mother Earth. Okay, so we're out gardening, and you'll notice that a lot of the good gardeners talk to the plants, and they send good thoughts to the plants, and they're entirely within that type of communication. Yes, it is a different kind of communication. It's verbal in that the sound waves touch the plants, and it's also a little bit telepathic, and it's definitely empathic in that we're sending good thoughts to the plants. And so in a similar way, when we're out in the woods, we can relate to the trees, learn to talk to the trees in a happy way, and then we can learn to send good thoughts and feelings out among the animal nations. It says, how did Snow White get all those animals to sing with her? It's because she was in innocence, and she was projecting life force and happiness to the animal nations. And so when we are in this bubble of innocence and wanting life and blessing and good communication with all of our relatives around us, and here we're talking about our natural relatives, the mineral, the water, the fire, the air. We're talking about the plant and the tree. We're talking about all of the different animal nations. We're talking about the different two-legged nations. And in a similar way, we pray and we sing and we meditate, and in this way provide a communication with our ancestors, with the nature spirits, and with the sacred beings of life. Wokila Inamaka, Mother Earth.
Mahalo, Pathfinder. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Aloha Healers Network. We really appreciate it and love connecting with all of you just like this. And we'll see you. We close Aloha Healers Network with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Wa ko wa ka ya
makia pelochai. Hey,